Welcome back to The Exchange. I'm Mike Green. My guest is Sunny Spicer, Executive Director of the Children's Museum of Southern Oregon in Medford. Welcome to The Exchange, Sunny.
Hello there.
Well, I have to offer a full disclosure from the start before we get into our conversation. My wife and I have been huge fans since we were bringing our boys to your facility way back when it was called Kid Time.
Oh, I love to hear that.
But you've grown exponentially since then. So can you guide us through the museum's history?
I can. So, you know, it was quite a few years ago when you started. So I've been with the organization 24 years now. And when I started, it was basically just a concept. And I had a box of toys and a minivan and went around to some, some festivals and the Rogue Valley Mall and started talking to people about, what do we need in this community? Because there's not a lot of opportunities for people who have young children. And so in 2005, we started a very small children's museum that really the exhibits were built by my husband and I and some volunteers and very little money. And we transformed an old moose lodge into a children's museum. And it grew from there. There was a lot of interest. There was a lot of people that realized that it's important that we pay attention to our children in those early years when all 90% of our brain development is happening. And we knew we were going to have to do even more from there. And so about 2011, we moved to downtown Medford in collaboration with the Southern Oregon Historical Society. And we grew again, and we built another museum, and we added a preschool, and we kept growing because if you were there too. You brought your kids in. You saw that the need was there, and
yes,
we needed to put children on that trajectory. And we've kept growing. In 2020, great timing for, things that were happening in the universe. We started to build another museum in the historic Carnegie Library and grew our preschool. Our preschool opened with one half-time classroom. We now, and I think we had 12 kids. We now have 14 classrooms and we're serving 360 kids.
Wow.
Our museum sees 110,000 visitors a year. We're the largest children's museum in Oregon. So we've been growing quite a bit over the years.
So help me understand the different roles of the Oregon Center for Creative Learning, the Children's Museum, and the Ivy School.
Yeah, it's a little bit complicated, but it's complicated because we've grown so much and we do a lot of things. So the Oregon Center for Creative Learning is our umbrella organization, and really we have sort of three legs that we're leaning on. We have the Ivy School preschool, and we have a lot of preschool classrooms. They're on our main campus. They're in the elementary schools throughout Medford School District, and now we have a location in Grants Pass as well. So we have preschool classrooms that are spread throughout. We have the Children's Museum, again, the main campus at the Carnegie Library. We're opening another Children's Museum in Grants Pass. And then with our overriding Oregon Center for Creative Learning, our role is to really support the early childhood roles and then parent education and creative learning opportunities on that education trajectory. So we've really leaned into what can we do to support the community on this learning process that happens from birth all the way through.
If you're just joining us, my guest is Sunny Spicer, Executive Director of the Children's Museum of Southern Oregon. Now, I understand the museum attracts families from all over the region, including Northern California. Can you tell me about the experiences for kids and the parents, like playtime, learning, and hands-on workshops?
So children learn about the world around them by experiencing it. So what we want is not to just put a screen in front of them and tell them about something. We want them to experience it in a way that they're going to understand it. So if we're talking about things that are happening in our economy, we're going to give them the chance to do it for themselves. So we have a little orchard. They might pick fruit. They might learn how to pack it. They put it into a grocery store. They'll take it to a restaurant. They'll buy it and take it home in the little creative little home setting. We have a medical center. We have an ambulance. We have a neonatal unit. But they're all things in a child-sized setting that they can start learning about what the world is around them. They can think about their career pathways. They learn to interact with kids around them, how to socially, emotionally react in a way that's appropriate, how to share. So it's a play experience, but it's really like learning how to be in this world.
And you have hands-on workshops, like the kids can get their hands dirty with clay.
Absolutely. So one of the roles we try to fill in, we have an amazing preschool. We love our preschool, and we fully acknowledge preschool is expensive. You know, there's about 70-some percent of the families in our community that can't access it because of cost and whatever else that may be. So we create workshops that families can come in, and there is no additional cost once you come into the museum. So there's clay, there's Lego programs. We call it Yeti sledding outside on our hill. There's all these different opportunities to engage in these that might fill in the gaps of not being able to participate in preschool or whatever that might be. But we play that role.
So tell me about the hours of operation and what are the costs?
So it's 10 to 5, Monday through Saturday. We're 12 to 5 on Sunday. Apologies. We're not open on Mondays anymore. And then the cost, the family membership for the entire year is $155, and that's for a family of four. There are daily membership rates, too. That's $10 for an adult and $15 for kids. The daily rate's a little bit more money, but what we try to lean into is that if you're going to come over and over again, basically you can buy a 3-month membership for about the same cost as coming for a day. And then we offer scholarships, lots of scholarships. If for some reason those rates are unaffordable, we work with families because our goal is to make sure that families can come. We want this to be accessible.
Well, how can you afford the scholarships? Where are you getting your donations?
We raise funds. We go to foundations. We raise funds individually. We have people that sponsor families. That's important. About half the people that come through the museum have some sort of tuition assistance to get their way through, because the worst day for me is being in a position to have to turn somebody away. So we make it so we don't do that.
So now the museum is expanding. You mentioned Grants Pass. With the expansion of the campus and operations, that's expanding your costs as well.
It is. It absolutely is. So we have we've successfully done a capital campaign to buy another building in Medford. We've bought the former Mail Tribune building downtown. That's allowing us to move preschool operations into the Mail Tribune. And then we are moving some of our other operations that we've been renting some spaces into the Carnegie Library. But what we're doing is we're being really creative in how we're doing this. We're making our spaces create additional revenue. We're allowing community partners to come in and be efficient with our resources. We're creating rentable space. We're building other streams because we know that we raise funds, but we also have to be able to support ourselves too.
Absolutely. Now, I hear you have a family member in the background.
I walked away.
But that reminds me, when families come, can they bring their pets?
We don't have pets in the museum. I'm actually working from home today. But the reason we don't have pets in the museum, and you can tell I'm a lover of pets, I would love to be able to do that. But we try to protect kids that might have allergies and such. So we don't do that.
Right. That makes sense. So what is the most exciting thing that's happening right now for you?
There are so many things that are exciting that are happening. But I will say it kind of took a moment yesterday because we just got the Mail Tribune building, and we've been working on the Carnegie building and in Grants Pass. We've been building our space at the former Dutch Bros headquarters. We've been giving so many opportunities to expand our ability to serve kids. You know, we have a very long wait list for preschool. We have a lot of people that come through the museum, and we're giving all these really important opportunities to kids. And we're saving some spaces that otherwise might have gone into disrepair, and we're bringing so much really happy life to them in ways that I think really matter for the community. We're supporting kids. We're supporting families. We're putting them on this really happy trajectory and making a lot of happy memories. A lot of our staff members started as kids coming to the museum, probably about the same time your kids were there. And that's an important piece. We're an important part of the community, and we're able to build more and affect more lives. And that is something that's really exciting.
Well, I'll have to get my kids to volunteer. They're now teenagers.
Yes. Yes.
So what are your priority needs today?
Our priority needs today, you know, we talked about those scholarship pieces. You know, times are hard right now, making sure that families have that access. I mean, we got some coverage yesterday about the fact that we were working our way into the former Mail Tribune building, and there were a couple of comments saying, you know, it's so expensive. We work hard to make sure that we keep those costs down, but making sure that families don't feel that stress. I don't want a mom feeling like she can't bring her kids. And so having the ability to sponsor families is really important.
Now, you mentioned that a certain number of people are coming through the museum each year. What's your overall vision with all this expansion?
To make it so they can keep coming and keep coming for other programs too, and like expand our opportunities, expand the different resources, and actually make it so that they get to stay even longer to do more things. You know, right now, we're really known as an early childhood organization. We now have a clay studio and we have a culinary studio. That makes it more engaging for some older kids. You know, my youngest daughter is 18. She had her 18th birthday party there, and it was the first birthday party she had had at the museum, and she brought all of her high school senior friends who were there playing for hours and laughing about the fact that here they are playing at a kid's museum. You don't get too old for play. I think we can all benefit from that. I think understanding that and having more opportunities for kids when they're older to engage like that in a really healthy way is important. And I think as we grow, we can create more of that.
Well, it sounds like you've created a place that's truly a community treasure. So thank you very much for that.
I appreciate the opportunity to do that. I think I have the best job in the world.
And you do. Thank you, Sunny.
Thank you for the opportunity.
My guest was Sunny Spicer, Executive Director of the Children's Museum of Southern Oregon. I'm Mike Green. You're listening to the Jefferson Exchange on the News and Information Service of Jefferson Public Radio.